a century to tell it by knowledge the word Smith. This is at the top of the list of atrocities, the true story of a string of murders in the Osage Nation's land in Oklahoma in the 1920s. A wicked plan exposed in a meticulously researched 2017 book by David Graham. It's not hard to understand. It's the way of the white man once oil was discovered on Osage land. Osage, people of the Middle Waters. The white man killed their sons and daughters. The tribe developed in the Ohio and Mississippi River valleys around 700 BC, along with other groups of its language family. They migrated west after the 17th century, settling near the joining of the rivers of the Missouri and Mississippi as a result of Iroquois' expansion into the Ohio country. A century to tell it like the world was in a coma. The majority of Osage citizens now live in Oklahoma. They depended on nomadic buffalo hunting and agriculture, many of them 6.5 to 7 feet high. They were the tallest race of men in North America. This was said by George Catlin, a North American painter. The missionary Isaac McCoy was very impressed. He said they were the finest looking Indians I have ever seen in the West. In the 19th century, they were forced by the U.S. to move into Oklahoma, which was once Indian territory. Oil was discovered on their land in the early 20th century. Through returns from leasing fees, many Osage became wealthy. Making lots of money can be bad for your health. During the 1920s and what was known as the Reign of Terror, they suffered manipulation, fraud, and numerous murders by outsiders eager to take over their wealth. In 2011, the Osage Nation gained a settlement from the federal government after an 11-year legal struggle over their oil funds mismanagement. They established dominance in the Plains region by 1750, with control over half or more of Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Missouri. They dominated western Oklahoma with the help of the Kiowa, Comanche, and Apache. The women cultivated many corn and squash varieties. They also harvested and processed nuts and wild berries. The villages of the Osage were important hubs in the Great Plains, trading networks served by Kaw people and intermediaries. French explorers Jacques Marquette and Louis Joliet were among the first Europeans documented to contact the Osage in 1673. The Osage allied with the French, with whom they traded against the Illiniwek during the early 18th century. Etienne de Vineyard and Sieur de Bourgemont founded Fort Orleans in their territory. The Osage suffered extensive losses from smallpox between 1801 and 1822. Up to 2,000 died. If smallpox was put in blankets, I would call it genocide. On November 10, 1808, the U.S. and Osage signed their first treaty, by which the Osage made a major concession of land in present-day Missouri. The ceded 53 million acres to the federal government under the Osage Treaty. This treaty created a buffer line between the Osage and new European American settlers in the Mission Territory. The U.S. government had some nerve. They relocated the Osage to a reservation in what is now southeastern Kansas, called the Osage Diminished Reserve. The Osage had good reason to trip. The first Osage reservation was a 50 by 150 mile strip. The Protestants and Catholics tried to impose their culture, but the Osage felt the Catholics did not fully embrace the Osage sense of the spiritual incarnate in nature. The tribe was left in a very bad state by the widespread smallpox pandemic of 1837 to 1838. all clergy abandoned them during the pandemic, except for many a Catholic. Was this smallpox a genocide? Catholic priests stayed with them and also died. The Osage were accompanied by the Catholic clergy when they were forced to move again to Indian Territory. White squatters were a frequent problem for the Osage, but they recovered from population losses, regaining a total of 5,000 members by 1850. The Kansas-Nebraska Act resulted in numerous settlers arriving in Kansas Territory. Both abolitionists and pre-slavery groups were represented among those trying to establish residency in order to vote on whether the territory should permit slavery. The Osage lands became overrun with European American settlers acting like vultures. Union forts in the north and Confederate forces raided their territory, taking the food, stores, and horses. During the war, many Caddoan and Greek refugees from Indian Territory came to Osage Country in Kansas, further straining their resources. Roughly 200 Osage men were recruited into the Confederate Army and formed the Osage Battalion, serving under Cherokee Confederate General Stand Waite. Following the American Civil War and victory of the Union, the Drum Creek Treaty was passed by Congress on July 15, 1870, and ratified by the Osage at a meeting in Montgomery County. It provided that the remainder of Osage land be sold and the proceeds used to relocate the tribe to Indian Territory. By delaying agreement with removal, the Osage benefited by a change in administration, selling their lands to President Ulysses S. Grant, who gave them more money, 1.25 an acre rather than the 19 cents an acre offered to them by the U.S. previously. The Osage were one of the few American Indians to buy their own reservation, which gave them more rights to the land and sovereignty. This is what they decided to do. They purchased 1.5 million acres in 1872. Like other Native Americans, the Osage did not receive their full annuity. Middlemen made profit by shorting supplies to the Indians or giving them food that was poor quality. Indian office reports showed nearly a 50% decline in the Osage population, the result of poor food, quality food that induced starvation, inadequate medical supplies and clothing during the harsh winters also affected the population. In 1879, an Osage delegation went to Washington, D.C., making them the first Native American nation to gain full cash payment. They gradually built up their tribe again, but suffered white outlaws, vagabonds, and thieves encroachment. Their solution? In 1887, they wrote a constitution. The federal government was pressing for Native American assimilation. Congress passed the Curtis Act and Dawes Act legislation, requiring the dismantling of communal lands on many a reservation. Henry Foster saw an opportunity. He approached the Bureau of Indian Affairs, BIA, who made Foster pay the Osage tribe a 10% royalty on all sales of petroleum produced on the reservation. Basically, he stiffed the Osage population. The government leased lands on their behalf for oil development. The company's government sent the Osage royalties that dramatically increases their wealth by the 1920s. In 1923 alone, the Osage earned $30 million in royalties. In the year 2000, the Osage population sued the federal government over its management of the trust assets, alleging that it had failed to pay tribal members appropriate royalties and had not historically protected the land assets and appreciation. Like manna from heaven, the suit was settled for $380 million in 2011. breaking down the fact the Osage were unyielding and refusing to give up their lands, and held up statehood for Oklahoma before signing an allotment act. Breaking it down in this rhyme, the Indian Citizenship Act of 1924 granted Indians across the country full citizenship for the first time. A United States Court of Appeals ruling ended government restoration. In 2004, Congress passed legislation to restore sovereignty to the Osage Nation. One thing we need to understand, between 1907 and 1923, Osage individuals sold or leased thousands of acres to non-Indians of formerly restricted land. The Osage didn't understand the value of such contracts, so they were conned again and again by con artists and unscrupulous businessmen. This was done with ease. Also, non-Native Americans tried to cash in on the new Osage wealth by marrying into families. There's quite a bit of information that's been brought to light. Tens of thousands of oil workers arrived, and more than 30 boom towns sprung up nearly overnight. The truth unfurled, Osage headright holders became the richest people in the world. It's not open to debate. Osage were legally deprived of their land, headrights, and or royalties. Others were murdered, and the police failed to investigate. The coroner's office did shit that they tried to hide. People were poisoned, and they adjusted death certificates claiming it was suicide. Legally deprived of their royalties, the Osage Allotment Act did not entitle the Native Americans to autopsies. Ernest Burkhart in 1921 fit the profile. He was a European American that married an Osage woman with headrights, Molly Kyle. His uncle, William King of Osage Hills Hale, a powerful businessman, led the plot. He and his brother Brian hired accomplices to have the Kyle family heirs shot. There's no refuting. They arranged for the murder of Kyle's mother, two sisters, a brother-in-law, and a cousin in cases involving poisoning, bombing, and shooting. With local and state officials unsuccessful at solving the murders, the Osage Nation requested the help of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They put Hale in his place. It was the Bureau's first murder case. By the time they started investigating Ernest's treachery, Molly Kyle was being poisoned already. Evil never thrived. This was discovered, and she survived. She had inherited the headrights of the rest of her family. The FBI achieved the prosecution and conviction of the principals in the murders of the Kyle family. But the Osage were less than thrilled. From 1921 to 1925, most murders were not solved when 60 of them were killed. White men that broke the law, their evil natures outlined in a novel written by Osage John Joseph Matthews in 1934. Yeah, the Osage were pissed. Broken down by David Grann in Killers of the Flower Moon, The Osage Murders and the Birth of the FBI, 2017. He was a National Book Award finalist because of all this deviltry. Congress limited inheritance of Osage headrights only to those heirs of half or more Osage ancestry. Congress knew the Osage were in those vultures' sights and extended another 20 years the total control of mineral rights. Later, legislators gave the tribe continuing communal control indefinitely. Today, headrights have been passed down among descendants of the Osage primarily, but roughly a quarter of the headrights are owned by those who are not people of the Middle Water. The Bureau of Indian Affairs still pays revenues on mineral rights quarterly. In 1999, the Osage sued the U.S. for mismanaging its trust funds, its mineral estate, and litigation that included claims reaching into the 19th century. In 2011, the Court of Federal Claims awarded the Osage Nation $330.7 million in damages and partial compensation, covering the period from 1972 to 2000. The Osage received from the U.S. $380 million in outstanding litigation.